brushed strokes of Tanner's signature deep blue sky are behind them. Ahead, your light is coming toward them, reflecting off their weary bodies, illuminating their astonished faces. Who tells us that the women initially were perplexed, and perhaps Tanner's Mary Magdalene on the left is just that, her hand touching her face, the way we touch our faces when we wonder if we are really inhabiting this time and this space. Her arm reaching back, but missing the assurance of a companion's hand. This Mary's mind cannot make sense of what she sees, except that her expression and her leaning forward suggests to me that she is perplexed because she wonders if what she sees is too good to be true. To tell you the truth, and why shouldn't I on this last Easter Sunday when I can, I have been this Mary most of my life. I say to you, Christ is risen, and you say that to me.
He is risen indeed.
And I wonder, my hand and my face, my body leaning forward, could this great good news really be true? This is to say, I have done most of my believing in the subjunctive mood. The mood of mystery, of faith in a woman with doubt, is the held breath, a hand reaching out or up, writes essayist Michelle Moreno. And think of Mary's response to Gabriel's annunciation. How could this be? And think of Mary Magdalene's response to the sound of Jesus' voice in John's gospel. But why? Could you really be alive? On the other hand, it was the indicative bias against women that led the disciples at this point in Luke's story to say the witness of the women was an idle tale, and they did not believe them. The indicative mood is for knowledge, facts, absolutes, prescribing what is real or definite. This mood cannot get past the hopeless finality of the crucifixion, Ted Wardlaw writes. And so in every age is eager to subvert resurrection faith with premature certainties about the way things are. Wardlaw guesses that the dominance of the indicative mood among the disciples is why Luke's story of the resurrection is Jesus indeed come alive? Christ is risen. Next, consider the middle Mary, who according to our one translation came to the tomb with the other Marys, not at early dawn, but at deep dawn. That indefinable time, Presbyterian poet and preacher James Loudon writes, between darkness and light. That time when the promise in which you believe is true, or the promise in which you believe is a lie. If everything you believe is true, Lowry goes on, then there is hope. If everything you believe is a lie, then there is no hope. The middle Mary in Luke's gospel is not Mary, but Joanna, wife of Herod's steward, Cusa. Jesus' disciple, wife of Herod's steward. Forgive me, but what comes to mind, the gender is switched, is the complicated marriage of Kellyanne and George Conway. From the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, his wife of Herod's steward had provided for Jesus and for his disciples out of her husband's resources. This Mary is literally in the middle. So too was Henry of Salem. is a God. If we believe there is a God, we believe there is nothing to deceive us. Deep down, says the poet, is that moment just after you hang up the phone. And you go to the police station. You pick up your son or your daughter. At that moment, you believe there is hope for a new beginning, or you believe there is nothing but angry rebellion. Deep down, that moment just after the news is bad, like when one comes home and says to the other, "I don't love you anymore," or when someone says, "I am powerless of my addiction." And the boss says your job has been phased out. At deep dawn, Mary in the middle lay Joanna, stands her ground, which is no ground at all. Between hope and doubt, between truth and love, between life and death, between the deep blue darkness behind her and the blinding light ahead. To be sure, she could still have left the 11 and returned to life in Herod's household. To secure a roof over her head, a steady income, a husband who may or may not love her because he loves living close to power more. And to be sure, on Easter afternoon, like the disciples trudging toward Emmaus, we can and often do return to dwell in the darkness behind us. But in the deep dawn of this morning, Luke tells us that even Joanna went into the tomb. No doubt she entered still expecting to see the triumph of death over the life of the one she had loved. Instead, death was nowhere to be found. An empty tomb, of course, is ambiguous at best. In this sense, the 11 were right to say to the women that the report was an idle tale, whereas yet none of them had been encountered by the risen Lord. Is our first hint that we may hope for a future that is in the hands of the God whose love never quits and not in the hands of death. A missing body is God's earnest that Christ is alive and active in human history, destroying every ruler and authority and power, death, being the last enemy. Still, to be given that hint, that hope, that future, we must enter the tomb where even the death in us will be defeated by love. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Finally, consider the third Mary. The Mary who hangs back, who is in the shadows even as the light embraces her. She is Mary, the mother of James, whom we meet for the first time here in Luke's Gospel at the end, and later interpret the meaning of the empty tomb with a question, a promise, and a command. Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again. This is enough. This is enough to send the living Marys running to the disciples. And this must be enough for us too. The words and the witnesses are all any of us have ever had. With the moment of Jesus rising, redacted, and no sign